Welcome to Positive Change with Dorina. Dorina provides her experience and opinions about various topics as interesting information for you to enjoy. She has a PhD in physiology, a degree in behavioral health counseling, a daily practice of yoga and meditation, and over 20 years' experience using alternative healing methods to help people get unstuck. She is not a medical doctor nor a therapist. If you have a medical condition or health issue, please consult your personal health care provider. Remember to be sensible and take care of yourself.
Welcome to Friends and Family Friday. I would like to thank everyone that has left me an iTunes review. It's really nice to get the feedback and encouragement. Thanks again. I've been doing a lot of musing lately. Every day, a new topic for a podcast, but nothing seems to solidify. This is what happens to me when I'm in transition. It's like a big swirl of dust and I'm unable to commit to any one idea. Sometimes I just have to wait until the dust settles to see what remains. Now, a special thanks to Mitchie Austin for your review and your desire for more horse adventures. I was encouraged. Another episode about my horse journey was a strong contender for this week's episode. I've started to use the trust technique with them, and I've gotten some interesting results. However, that will have to wait. You see, my mother called yesterday, and what she said and my reaction surprised me and has led to some deep thoughts that I want to capture before they slip away into the sea of dust. Now, I was on the other line when my mother called, and she left me a message. As I tried to play it back, it was muted at first. It was running in the middle when I finally got the sound to play. And she said something about a death in the family. I quickly hit the button to get to play from the beginning. And while I did that, I noted my reaction. Before I say how I reacted, take a moment to guess how you might react if you just heard that there was a death in the family. Would you be worried? Or anxious? Would a feeling of fear or apprehension arise? Would you be thinking, oh no? Or would you be more neutral? No reaction at all. What would your automatic reaction be? My immediate reaction was to wonder who it was. I was actually excited that someone had finally died. I knew it couldn't be my mother, since she was the one calling. That left my brother or my father. Both were likely candidates. My dad is in his 80s, and he's in and out of the hospital, so he was a likely candidate. In fact, based on a conversation we had a couple years ago, it seemed that he was ready to leave the planet. And on the other hand, my brother has a serious medical issue, which is being mismanaged. The way he treats himself seems like a slow suicide to me. I would not be surprised if he took an exit door himself. In fact, I would be proud if he made such a decisive move to choose a heart attack over the slow decline he was doing. Whoa, am I weird? How could I be so excited to imagine my family members dead? This left me examining the multifactorial aspects of my reaction. You know, first, I'm not very attached to my family. Attachment to them or what they do for me or give me would result in sadness if they died, or fear that they might die and I would lose all that. What many people call love is actually some sort of attachment. I am not sad or fearful because I don't really get anything from my family. Another aspect of my non-reaction is that I consider a death a transition and not an ultimate end. I also consider death a choice and not something just random. Like I said with my brother and my father, I wouldn't be surprised if they died because they're choosing with their actions a path that leads to death. Because of this perspective, I'm not really saddened by anyone's physical death. I also don't have a lot of stories around death. We'll consider stories a little later when I talk about my mother's reaction. So am I above and beyond attachment? Oh, not at all. You know, fear and anxiety at the loss is only one side of attachment coin. The other side is being excited by what the death will bring to me. In this case, since I was experiencing excitement and not having a completely neutral reaction, I know that I was anticipating a gain. Now, when relatives die, sometimes we can be excited because we anticipate an inheritance, and we can have mixed feelings. But that's not my situation. I was actually feeling a little vindictive. Ooh. Every member of my family, I have offered my assistance with their health, and my offer was declined. You know, this is no big deal. I respect their choices. At least that is what I tell myself consciously. Our automatic reactions give us a clue to what is really going on in our subconscious. My excitement indicates that I do have a little resentment that they didn't take my advice. Their death would be proof positive that their ways didn't work, and I'd be happy that they failed. Ooh, that is a little bit of bitter poison. Being happy when others fail is one of the 8 worldly thoughts. And in my case, I have the version of being happy when people that have refused my help fail. What would it take to change that? Another aspect is that instead of being happy that they failed, I'm actually happy that they finally made a decision to end their lives. I actually have some sort of judgment towards people that say one thing while they keep doing another thing. In my brother's case especially, the fact that he is killing himself slowly kind of pisses me off. Huh, what does that say about me? It is possible that I'm not actually happy he failed, if he was the one who died, but I'm happy that he finally got 100% behind dying and just went and did it. Yeah, I'm not talking about suicide here. I'm talking about having a heart attack or something like that, a kind of passive suicide. On the other hand, I also love change. And my excitement could come from the simple fact that a death represents change and offers me an opportunity to explore my new emotional climate. In any case, since I'm not sure what is making me slightly excited, we can see that my reaction is very subtle. I can only catch it because my awareness is heightened and I'm scrutinizing things. I went back to the call, I listened to the rest of my mother's message, and then I gave her a call back. As it turned out, it was my cousin's husband that died. No one in my immediate family. And I'm not even sure I've met this person. This reminded me my mother's definition of family is broader than mine. This person being a stranger to me created no reaction. And I was also neutral enough to notice my mother's reaction and start seeing the beliefs that would create such a reaction. If we are experiencing grief or sadness, we are focused on something that is not true, ultimately true. We're focused on a story. My mother has lots of stories. Now, the first story I noticed was that it had to do with the loss of family. Now, for her, there was something significant about this person being family. It was a bigger deal that a family member died. What have you made so significant about the concept of family? Would you like to be free of that? What would being free of that create for you? Then it was also a big deal for my mother that he was so young. I'm not surprised that this would be a trigger for her. Her son, my older brother, died in his 30s after living a complete life. But somehow dying young is a tragedy to her, regardless of how appropriate it is. Indeed, this age thing seems to be a trigger for many people. In fact, my daughter's father refused to let me bring my daughter to my brother's funeral because he died young. He thought it would be too emotionally gloomy for her. Now, as it turned out, it was light and festive. My brother had wanted a party, and it was just as he would have liked it. What have you made so significant about age and dying young? My conversation with my mother went on. She was just beginning to settle into her stories when we talked. She had called me first as soon as she had heard the news. And it was as if she was setting herself up to carry a heavy weight. You could feel her energy was getting lower, and I could imagine her thinking about all the negativities of the situation. What other stories might she explore? I wondered as I hung up with her. Well, she might imagine the impact to the man's children and his wife, but only focusing on the negative and not what this change might create for them. You know, there's a common view as death as a negative thing. How does it serve us to see it as a tragedy? When I run into people that talk about the death of someone close, I'm always tempted to congratulate them or celebrate with them. My automatic reaction is, oh, that's great, which I stifle, and then I stumble around to find something to say. You know, my default is, how are you doing with that? Since I refuse to say things like, oh, I'm sorry, because I'm not. You know, if they tell me they've been crying continuously, I'm tempted to ask, would you like to change that? Since that's what I'm all about, positive change. But I stifle that question as well, since many people believe that grief is natural and healthy. Not many people have examined their emotions to find how unsubstantial they are. Grief is not natural. But actually, it's an unnatural state of mind based on some subconscious story, something you've made up. You know, it may be normal, meaning it's the norm, but it doesn't represent health. And I'm tempted to say grief is not healthy, but actually it is. So what do I mean? It just doesn't represent a healthy state. Let's look at an analogy. When you get sick and have a cold, you release all sorts of snots and fluid as your body expels the virus or bacteria and all the immune cells that are killed in the process. You know, within the framework of a cold, the release of snot and an increase in temperature could be seen as a healthy reaction. You know, if you don't have all that snot and temperature doesn't go up, you might be dead. So it's healthy to have all that happen. However, true health is not to be sick to begin with. Similarly, grief, within the context of a loss, is a good way to release pent-up emotions. You certainly don't want to repress those, and in fact, get them all out really fast and deep. Release everything. However, to be able to be free of attachment and other losses that have piled up on underneath this to be released as well, to be free of all that, that is true health, true mental health to begin with. Whenever we are reacting to something, whether it be with glee or gloom, it is a signal that we have a story underneath it all. And that story is actually a lie. Some people look at a positive change as getting rid of all the negative lies and keeping the positive ones. However, once you are living the positive story, you may find that it is empty as well, or that you have to keep regenerating that positive story. Many people that have it all talk about how they are still dissatisfied. True peace and satisfaction comes when you are free from all the stories and abide in the neutral state. It may sound kind of boring, but it really is the only state of being that is fulfilling. This is not about good or bad, right or wrong. It's about examining your life and choosing the next thing and creating peace and satisfaction. What stories do you want to keep? What stories do you want to get rid of? If you're feeling stuck and would like a Change Anything Now session with me, find out more at changeanythingnow.com. Sessions to be aired on this podcast are a great benefit to everyone, and I do those sessions for free. How does it get better than that? Positive Change with Dorina. Program credits. Music is Cheery Monday by Kevin McLeod. Incompetech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. The voice intro was by Dylan McCloskey. You can find him on Fiverr.com. The podcast, copyright 2017, Dorina Road, all rights reserved.